All right, good morning once again. Good morning. Wake up. Hello. You know, Jesus even had to tell his disciples the night before he was taken, please, stay awake. He went off and prayed, came back, and we're sleeping. So don't let me catch you sleeping. We got to stay awake, stay alert. Well, I'm delighted to be here this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Paul Letvin, one of two pastors here at Submerged Church and two deacons. My co-pastor Bob's been on a little R&R trip. I think he's back, sort of. He's going to be off to hockey, Frozen Four with his brothers. He does that every year, but he'll be back soon. It's great to have the Arvidsons back after just a small vacation down in Arizona. No, I know you were working down there too, but no, it's great having you guys back. So I'm just delighted to be here. Our other deacon, Tyler, he and his wife, Becky, just had a third child. We announced and celebrated that last week, so we're really excited for them, little Ivan Connor. And currently, they've just been facing some trials. You know, Becky had some complications after the pregnancy and some epidural mishap, and then Eliana got sick, and then Tyler was up all night taking care of her, throwing up, and then he got sick. And I mean, so they're just having a hard time. So I'm actually going to start by praying for them, and then just praying that God speaks to each of our hearts. And it's no surprise to me, and even right now, for some reason, you know, usually I'm not apprehensive or nervous sharing in front of people, but today I've just had like a little extra, like, because I'm talking about sharing our faith, and Satan doesn't like it. He's going to do everything he can to try to stop us from doing this. So let's just pray that the Lord speaks to each of us, and that we hear what he wants us to hear. So if you please pray with me. Father, we thank you for this time we can gather together. Thank you for bringing the people here that you were able to bring. And Lord, I trust that to each of us, myself included, you've got some powerful words to share with us, a message from your word on how we can be active in sharing our faith. And Lord, I just pray that we'd have open minds, we'd have soft hearts, to hear what you want us to hear, Lord, that we'd have courage, that we would just accept this word with gladness. Lord, I pray for the Anderson family. Pray for good health for them. Pray for Becky. Just heal her headaches and other issues going on in her body just after giving birth to this third child. And just pray you heal her quickly. Pray for Eliana and Tyler. Just heal them from this sickness. Maybe Simone even got a little sick too. And yeah, so we just pray for the Anderson, Deacon Tyler and the Anderson family, Lord. Just pray you bless them and heal them this morning. And just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So some of you are probably thinking a variety of things right now. Some of you might be thinking, what is evangelism? Some of you are thinking, I don't even know I'm sitting here this morning. I just came because this person told me to, or this person invited me. Some of you are thinking, all right, let's talk about evangelism. Let's go talk to people about Christ, and you're excited. And other people are like, man, couldn't I have like scheduled a dentist appointment on Sunday to get out of this? You know, dentists aren't open on Sunday, right, most of the time. But we want to think of any excuse possible frequently with a lot of Christians I've talked to when it comes to, okay, everybody, it's outreach evangelism time. Let's all get together. And then there's crickets. And then for the actual event, there's maybe like, you know, 2% of the congregation that shows up. But I hope by the time I'm done with this two-part series that each of us will feel confident in what to say when we tell other people about Christ, and that it will be fun. And I had the great privilege of going to our regional leaders meeting up in Grand Forks back on March 24th. It was a Saturday, and there was a pastor from one of our sister churches, Lakeville Evergreen, that came up. And a lot of things I'm going to be sharing are things that he shared. And, of course, I took that and put my own spin on a lot of it. But I was just really inspired by that conference and thought, my goodness, this should be something I take back to our congregation and just encourage everybody here with, because I know a lot of our regular attenders and members were not able to make it to that meeting. It was very icy roads. I think I risked my life driving up there. I had to slow down to 50 miles an hour on interstate a couple times, and I even had the thought to myself, now get this, if you guys don't believe in spiritual warfare, listen to this story. So I was debating whether going that period, no matter what the weather was like, because I had just gone down to Minneapolis the Saturday before to like our real regional meeting, and it was a, you know, 3.5-plus hour trip down there, and back, and I'm thinking, okay, Paul, you already put in some time with all this regional meeting stuff. Why don't you just take a break this Saturday with your family? And then I thought, I just had this strong prompting that I was supposed to go. So I got up early Saturday morning, got in my car, started driving, and you know, it was okay in town, but then once I got out of city limits to the north of Fargo, like, those roads were pretty bad. It had been a while since I'd driven on such icy roads. You know, there's semis, and you're like, oh, should I pass them? Should I not? And I could feel the car like, ooh. I'm like, okay, yep, let off the acceleration. And there was at least two or three times I thought, I should just turn around. What am I doing? I'm like, I'm going to risk my life just to drive to Grand Forks and hear a bunch of stuff that I probably already know. And I was having a bad attitude. And I just had this strong prompting from the Lord, Paul, keep going. I'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. So kept going. And then Rob gave this great presentation on a lot of stuff that I'm going to be sharing with you today. And then as he was speaking, I was just thinking, man, because we were going to, right after he was done with his message, he's like, okay, we're going to put this into practice immediately. We're gonna get in little groups, and we're going to go out in the city, share our faith, go find a bus stop, go to Walmart, go to McDonald's, buy somebody's Happy Meal and sit down, you know, whatever, you know, and just find places where there's people, not necessarily big groups of people, but just go after that one person. And the one person that kept coming to my mind was my old neighbor, Shannon, who lived right next door to me on Chestnut Street in Grand Forks. I just kept thinking about her. And then one of the other guys that had come up with Pastor Rob mentioned, you know, you might be sitting here right now and the Holy Spirit might be putting someone on your mind. And I'm like, well, yeah. That was easy for me. You know, I'd already been thinking about my old neighbor Shannon for the last 15 minutes. And then so when I got paired up with two other ladies, I just said, you know, I can't stop thinking about my next-door neighbor Shannon. Do you mind if we just go see if she's home? And they're like, yeah, sounds great. So then we prayed and went out, and sure enough, she was home and started talking, and then caught up on life and kind of went through some of the things that I'll be sharing with you this morning, and then got to the end of the conversation, and she was ready to receive Christ. And I'd been praying for this woman for 8 years. I'd been praying for her for 8 years, since 2010, when I moved into that house, May of 2010. I'd been praying for her daughters. And I'd shared the gospel with her before. I'd given her gospel tracts. Haley and I had her and her daughters over for dinner a number of times. Her boyfriend Jim and I got to be good friends. They always had fires in their backyard, you know, and we'd go and hang out with them. And just had a really good relationship. So it was easy just to reconnect and catch up. And then this was the morning she was ready. And she said, Paul, you're not going to believe this, but last night I was just sitting in my living room thinking, man, I just really want to change my life. I'm so negative. I complain about things. I feel like I need to start going to church somewhere and just something needs to change. And then you show up on my doorstep this morning. And I said, Shannon, I believe it. It wasn't a coincidence. This was your time. This was your time. Now, because I didn't go so to sum all this up, think about, had I not gone to Grand Forks, maybe she wouldn't have accepted Christ. There wouldn't have been anyone to share the good news with her. Maybe eventually somebody else would have been, but it was God's will for me to get out of bed, drive on icy roads to Grand Forks, and share the gospel with this woman who was ready. And I didn't know it until I first obeyed. I didn't know that until I first obeyed, and I went, and then God blessed it. And even now, I gave her info to my sister, and she's been, they're planning on getting together and trying to get her plugged in. But I mean, isn't that amazing? And she came to Christ, and it was wonderful. It wasn't awkward. There wasn't any, ooh, blah, blah, blah. You know, it was, you know, someone I knew, and it was just her time, and God was ready. So that's one of the big things why I'm so encouraged to share you with this morning, because it works. I just saw it work 2 weeks ago. And of course, the Holy Spirit's got to be behind it. We can't just conjure up these magical formulas. And if we read the exact words off this card, then 100% guarantee that everyone we talk to is going to accept Christ. That's not how it works. But if we are obedient to what God tells us in his word, he's going to bless us. He's going to bless us. And that's what I'm going to share with you this morning. So before we even get in to the notes, let's take a look at that verse again. Philemon 6, you'll have to go back to that first slide. Thank you. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us, for for the sake of Christ. Now take a look at that. So how many of you here are just longing to know Christ more? Like, yeah, I want to get to know Jesus more. I want to have more knowledge about him. I want to build my relationship with him. Well, look at what this verse says. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for what? For the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. So I believe when we're obedient to what God has told us and we go out and we share our faith, that's when we start really getting to know who Jesus is. That's when we really start experiencing him in a deeper way. And that's what our church is all about. It's dive deeper. And I as far as I'm aware, I've never given a message on a Sunday morning to tickle people's ears, to tell you what you want to hear. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to tell you what God wants you to hear. And God wants us to share our faith, and he wants us to be effective at it. It's a skill that can be grown in. Sure, there's some people that naturally kind of have that gift of evangelism. They're outgoing, and my goodness, they're inviting. You know, that's just what they do, and they love it. And other people are like, no thanks. Where can I just go, like, clean a bathroom? Because I don't like talking to people. You might be in that category. But it's a skill that can be developed. We can become effective in sharing our faith. And that's what the goal is this morning. So, yeah, you might be thinking to yourself, man, I just really wish I knew Jesus more. My life's kind of stagnant right now. He doesn't seem real to me. I keep struggling with this, or, you know, doubt or depression, or I've got this sin habit. And it's like, man, I just, you know, I've been a Christian for, what, 10, 15 years, and I just don't. This doesn't feel real. Well, let me ask you this question, if you're in that boat. When was the last time you shared your faith? When was the last time you shared your faith? You know, there's a pastor in our movement, Dennis Clark, within Great Commission Churches, and every time that someone came to him for help, didn't matter what it was, hey, pastor, I'm having some marriage problems. Would you help? Or, hey, I'm struggling with this addiction or this. You know what his very first question that he would ask, like his default question, no matter what the struggle was? When was the last time you shared your faith? Oh, Dennis, you don't understand. I'm having a marriage problem. When was the last time you shared your faith? When was the last time you shared your faith? Oh, but I get so down and depressed about this. When was the last time you shared your faith? Because what does it do when we share our faith? It gives us that full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Seems like a silly thing. It's like, I didn't come to help share Christ with people. My marriage is falling apart. Go share your faith. Come back and talk to me. That was like his default counseling advice that he'd give to anybody that would come to him. And guess what? It was very effective. I don't have time to share all about that. But Jesus should really just be flowing out of our mouths. Luke 6:45, from out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That isn't in your bulletin, but in Luke 6:45, for out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever we're the most excited about, that's what we're going to talk about. Whatever is God in our life, that's what we're going to talk about. Whatever we spend our money on, that's what we're going to talk about. That's our passion. And Jesus wants that to be him. He should be first in our life. So what, when we get bumped in trials, what is it that comes out of our mouth? Is it complaining? Is it this and that? Or is it, wow, so thankful for my relationship with Jesus. I'm so joyful about my salvation. And ask yourself that question. And I'm in the same boat as well. That is not the default thing that comes out of my mouth. When I've got a defiant little two-year-old that tells me to stop doing something and really? Whoa. All right, son, we're going to have a little talk. You know, it's not naturally like, oh, thank you, son, for giving me this trial. Let's go talk about this, you know. It's difficult, right? When we get bumped, when trials come into our lives, it's easy for our flesh to come out. But if Jesus is really our passion, if he's really number one, that's what's going to come out of us. That's what's going to come out of us. We can't help but tell other people about how good Jesus is in our life. So if that's not the case for you, when you get rocked, when your patience is being tried, and it's not the joy of your salvation that's coming out, pray for that, as the psalmist did in Psalm 51:12. What did he say? Restore to me the joy of whose salvation? Your salvation. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, Psalm 51:12. And that should be a prayer of our hearts. If you're not passionate about Jesus today, you think things are dry, start praying that God restores that joy in you. Like, wow, I want to be excited about Jesus. I want to be passionate about him in my life. And I tell people when I go to NDSU and I talk to them and they come up, you know, they talk about this philosophy or this, and I've got this agnostic person telling me this idea and blah, blah, blah. And then they'll say, like, why do you even come here? And I was like, well, because I want Jesus to be as real in your life as he is in mine. And that's why I come here. I'm not here to argue. I'm not trying to convince somebody the effectiveness of carbon dating. I'm here to tell you about my relationship with Jesus. You know, and they're kind of just like, huh. And I share my story with them. And we'll get to that in a minute. So pray for that, Psalm 51:12. So in your bulletin, why should we share our faith? Why should we go and share our faith? Number of reasons. First one I have, Jesus commanded us to go. So if we call ourselves Christians, Christ followers, we love Jesus, and he tells us to do something, we should probably do it, right? What did Jesus say? If you love me, you will obey my commands. Who loves Jesus here? Most of us? Good. Some of us may not. Maybe some of us are exploring. I love Jesus, and if he tells me to do something, I should probably do it so I can show him that I love him. Jesus commanded us to go. He tells us that in Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Notice he doesn't say, make your little church buildings and your little social clubs and wait for the world to come to you so that you can tell them the gospel. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, go. Go into all the world. We're not just going to have people, I mean, unless there's a real move of the Spirit, which could be possible, but there's probably not going to be someone that just comes waltzing in here on a Sunday morning, Pastor, what must I do to be saved? It's probably not going to happen. We've got to go out to them. We've got to go fishing, right? How many of you have ever just like sat at home and all of a sudden your freezer just fills up with fish? Doesn't happen, right? You got to get up. You got to get your gear. You got to get your boat. You got to go out, put it on the lake, put it in, and start fishing, right? They're not just going to, as much as that'd be nice, right? It's like, yeah, I can just sit here and play my Xbox and like, oh, fish in the freezer. Wonderful. Yeah. Okay. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You've got to go out and put some work into it. Next one. People must hear the gospel. People must hear the gospel from someone telling them. People must hear the gospel from someone telling them. Romans 10:14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Someone's got to do it. Someone's got to tell them about Christ, about the good news. And then next reason, if something is lost, you need to go find it. You lose your keys, what do you do? Well, I'll just sit here by my car and hopefully they'll show up. I mean, I think I might have left them in the building somewhere, but they'll make their way back to me. No, you go look for them. You go find it, right? If something is lost, you got to go find it. Luke 15:4-5. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. See, and that's the compassion that our Lord has. And that's the compassion that he wants us to have. As much as I love everybody that comes here on Sunday mornings and our times together in home groups and fellowshipping and things like that, I know there's lost sheep out there. And someone needs to go find them. Someone needs to bring them home and tell them what they're missing out on by being a part of that flock. And Jesus is the good shepherd. He teaches us how to do that if we're willing to listen. Now, before we get to the next, the second half of today's message, I just want to affirm with each of you, especially those of you who are sitting thinking like, man, there's too much at stake. It's too much work. I can't speak well enough. I'm afraid. We could think of so many excuses to not do this, right? To not share the gospel. Well, let me prove to you, as Pastor Rob shared, it's really a win-win-win situation. And let me explain that to you. Okay, so there's basically three options, and this won't be on the PowerPoint or anything, so I'll just explain it to you. There's basically three options of what happens when we share our faith with people. One, they accept it. They're like my neighbor Shannon did. It wasn't always like that. There was times I gave her gospel tracts, and she's like, okay, thanks. And then, you know, never thought anything of it. But that morning, she was ready. She accepted it. So that's the first option. When we share our faith, they might be ready. They might accept it, be like, yeah, this is what I need. I need Jesus in my life. I'm really messed up, and I need someone to help put me back together. Jesus is the answer. And they make that decision to follow Christ. Okay, so that's a win, right? We got someone else that's on their way to heaven, someone else that we can welcome into our body of Christ. So that's the first option. Okay, second thing that could happen is they might just say, oh yeah, thanks for sharing that. I'll think about it and then that's it. They don't make a decision that day. Well, guess what? That's a win. You planted a seed, right? Farmers don't just sit on their porch in springtime. Well, maybe they are now because it's still so cold out, but you know, they're not just sitting there talking, well, Earl, I think I'm going to get lots of crops this year. I think I'll just sit here and see if the seeds just go plant themselves. He's a fool. No farmer does that. They get off their derriere and they go out and they sow some seeds, right? And they might not see fruit from every seed that they sow. They might not. But you've got to sow some seeds, a lot of seeds, if you want to see some fruit, right? So that second, it's still a win. You sowed a seed. That's part of somebody's gospel journey. And then third option, okay, so that they accept it, they sit on it and think about it, or third, they could just outright reject it and say, nope, I'm good on my own, thank you. They might even be angry and think, how dare you tell me that I need someone or something to improve my life? I'm fine, thank you very much. So why don't you just go bleep, beady, bleep off, and I'll live on with my life. Okay, that could happen. Guess what? That's still a win. Wait, what? Matthew 5, 11 through 12. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad because the same was with the prophets who were before you. Blessed are you when people insult you, reject you because of me. Okay? So even if somebody rejects you, you're out doing your job. And Jesus said you're blessed. So win, 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 right? So why shouldn't we go share our faith? Because if you don't, you lose, lose, lose. Those three things. I'm going to give you guys just a couple little options, and then I'm going to talk about this other approach option that I'll finalize next week. So here's some things you could even think about right off the bat. And actually, towards the end of the service, I'm going to do another little thing, not quite yet, but one thing, you could just give somebody an invite to church. You could give them a business card. It's your server at a restaurant. Say, hey, I go to this really great church. Would love for you to come check it out sometime. Or if you're really scared, you could just leave it in there when you sign the receipt. Hopefully you give them a decent tip so they like you. Okay. And you can just leave it in there and not even say anything to them. Just a church, you know, church business card. Or give it to your neighbor. You know, just say, hey, we'd love for you to come check out church. So just sowing a seed. That's part of evangelism. A next step up from that, maybe give them like a gospel track. And this actually walks somebody, and we have these back at the table, walk somebody through the gospel. You could even say, hey, this is something that changed my life. I encourage you to read it on your break. I've given this to people, like when I go to Papa Murphy's, we go there, like, goodness, at least once a week. They know me, my name will come in there. Oh, hey, how's it going? Yeah, good to see you too, Macy. I invited her to church and I gave her one of these. And anyway, so you can give this to somebody. And then even better than that, make your own. This is my story, how I became a Christian. I want to share it with you. This has changed my life. And this tells what God did in my heart. It's got some verses in there. My contact information's on there, like a personal gospel track. So those are some ways that you can just simply sow seeds and share your faith. And maybe they have time to stop and you can talk to them more in person about it. But these are great tools, like just for even, if you don't have much time, you can just sow a seed. Just sow a seed. Everyone's busy all the time, so that's an easy, quick way. Another way is this proven approach that I'll talk about the first four steps this morning, and then we'll finish it up next week. So let's go ahead and go to that first slide there. So a proven approach to sharing our faith. And this is pretty much exactly what I went through when I was sharing the gospel with my neighbor Shannon. And I've gone through a lot of evangelism training courses, you know, ways to share faith, things like that. And this has a lot of those things that I did know already, but I just really liked how it was laid out. And I saw it work right before my very eyes. So I'm thinking, okay, why not just keep doing this? You find something that works, use it. So those are the four steps: love, listen, discern, respond. Okay, so we're going to talk about each of those individually real briefly here. So number one, love. And if you want to in your bulletin, you could even write next to love, like each of these kind of represent a part of the Trinity, and I'll wrap that up at the end. But this first one is really like God. Why? God is love, right? So number one, love. And this represents God, who he is. If we take a look at 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you. Who makes us increase in love? The Lord. There's nothing good in and of ourselves. We are sinful, selfish creatures. It's God who allows us to love. God is love. I gave a whole message on that back in Valentine's Day out of 1 John. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Matthew 9:36, these won't all be up on the screen. I'm just reading them to you. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. That's who God is through Jesus. He's got compassion on people. He wants to see people saved. 1 Timothy 2:4, God wants everyone to be saved. He doesn't delight in sending people to hell. And in fact, as you were here last Sunday, he really doesn't send people to hell. People send themselves. God gives people what they want, a relationship with him in this life and in eternity, or no thank you, Jesus, in this life. So then in eternity, also no thank you, Jesus, which separates you from God forever. I mean, people send themselves. God wants everyone to repent, everyone to believe. It's God's kindness that it talks about in Romans 2:4. God's kindness that is intended to lead you to repentance. He's so kind. And we can show kindness by just talking to people, opening a conversation, buying their coffee. You know, that could be a good way to start an act of love, a conversation. 1 Corinthians 16:14, do everything in love. So when we go out and talk to people and share our faith, the whole reason that we're doing it, or should be, is because we love people, like God loves people. That should be the one motivating factor that we go out, because how much would I have to hate someone to not go and tell them about how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing that if they don't and they die today, they're going to go to hell? How much do I have to hate someone to not tell them that? Even this proud, antagonistic atheist, Eric, that I spoke to at NDSU, so rude to me, I still don't hate him so much that I didn't tell him about how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I even told him as much. I said, Eric, you've been rude to me today, you've been angry, but you know what? I love you, and I want you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And, you know, he just kind of blew it off. But you think about that. If you see somebody out on the street, there's a bus coming, they got their headphones on, and you're like trying to yell at them, and they don't hear it, and you see the bus coming, are you just going to stand there and let them get hit by the bus? Well, that's too bad. Let's see what happens. No! I mean, hopefully, get out of the way! I mean, you throw yourself, and sometimes that's what we need to do with some people in this life. They're so tied into the world, and sometimes we got to give them a real wake-up call and say, hey, you need Jesus in your life. If you died today, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be pretty. And of course, we need to do that in grace and love. We'll get to that. But we should really love people enough that we want to do this. And when we want them to be in heaven. A lot of people out there have felt conditional love their whole lives. They don't even know what it means to have someone just love them with unconditional love. And that's when they can see God through us, because they've had poor parents, they've had poor relationships, they haven't had anybody demonstrate to them the characteristics of God and his unconditional love. And then we can go and do that. We can be the hands and feet of Jesus and show them that love. When we're looking to bless somebody, that prepares our heart. We're not looking for a debate, because some people, they like to debate. They want to get in an argument. Even some Christians like to do that. But when our goal is to go out and love people and bless them, that's going to take away that desire to just want to debate and get in an argument. It's going to be like, okay, how can I love this person instead of arguing with them? So that's the whole goal with this first one, is that we just simply show them love, even to a complete stranger. So a good question to ask in this first step is, how can I pray for you? So that's a good step to take in this first one. It, you know, it helps break the ice. You could even go up and say, hey, I've got this crazy question for you. I've been asking people today. How can I pray for you? And notice it says, it doesn't say, can I pray for you? It says, how can I pray for you? Because if you ask, can I pray for you? No, thanks. Just say, how can I pray for you? Because then they have to kind of start thinking about it. And then they might say something like, well, yeah, I guess you could pray for world peace. No, the question is, how can I pray for you? What do you have going on in your life that I can? And maybe they'll say, oh, I'm actually doing pretty well, thanks. And then to me, you know, I'll often respond like, wow, I wish my life was like that. I got all kinds of things you could pray for me about. Need more wisdom in raising our kids, being a better husband, being a better pastor, you know. So you can kind of, you know, make it fun. Make it fun. Because sometimes people say, oh, I'm good. Oh, wow, I wish my life was going that well. You know, they might kind of laugh or chuckle. But make it personal. How can I pray for you? And that really shows that you're taking the time to love them and listen. Number two. Okay, so number one, love. That's God represents that. Number two, listen. This would be Jesus that I think most fits this step the best. If we take a look at Proverbs 18, verses 2 and 13, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Verse 13, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Anybody ever fallen into that boat before? I know I have. You hear somebody start talking and you answer before you really listen, and then you make a fool of yourself. You make a fool. You know, there's one version of this verse, Proverbs 8:13, in the Message Bible. It says, answering before listening is both stupid and rude. Oh, when you say it like that, Pastor, I don't think any of us here want to intentionally be stupid or rude. I hope not. We want to be wise. We want to be kind. We want to be gentle. So we need to learn how to listen. Guess what? Jesus asked a lot more questions than he answered. He asked a lot of questions. And he listened to people. He listened to them share. So let them do the talking. No one ever listens. And by the way, and this is just a glory to God. One of the things that God has taught me this year, especially in going to NDSU, when people come up, is just listening to them. And I have like frequent flyers come into my table. People that are not Christians, that they're agnostic, they know where I stand. We've had great conversations, but they keep coming back. And then they ask me, when's the next time you're coming? Why? Because I'm probably one of the only people that listens to them. And when they come, I ask, hey, how did this go? How was your trip home to the cities? How was your brother's flight? You know, because I write it down and I pray for them. And then the next time I see them, I can ask them about it. And it shows that I care about them, that I love. And it gives them a chance to actually talk. You know, there's so many people out there that don't really listen. You know, a lot of the cults that kind of even give real Christians a bad name, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, even some Christians are usually pretty pushy with their message. And that just turns people off. We've got to learn to listen to them. Pay attention. So when you ask them, how can I pray for you? Make sure you're listening, because you're going to be praying for it. So you better pay attention. It's going to be pretty embarrassing when you're like, oh, yeah, let's pray. Oh, yeah, what did you want me to pray for again? I mean, then that just shows you weren't listening. I mean, ask them questions, you know, before you pray. Okay, yeah, what was your nephew's name again? Or, you know, or whatever. Make sure you're really listening, and that they know that you're listening. Be slow to speak, but ready when the time is right. And no preaching during this time. You know, just let them talk. And then when you do speak, your tone needs to be humble and loving, okay? Not arrogant. And then actually pray for them. And then you get asked permission, you know, may I put my hand on your shoulder? Or if you're with a group like three or so, like, hey, let's hold hands and pray for this person right now. Which is what we did with my neighbor Shannon. We said, okay, yeah, let's pray for her. She wanted us to pray for some relationship things going on, and we prayed for her right there. So that's just a great way to love them and listen and pray for them. Okay, so number three, so we've got love, listen. So love is represented by God. God is love. Two, Jesus. Jesus asked a lot more questions than he asked. Three, discern. And for this, we need the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit would best represent discern. Proverbs 25, the purpose of a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. We need to be listening to the Holy Spirit to determine how to respond. How should we respond to this unique individual? Are they even interested? Will they engage for another few minutes? We need to be able to discern that, and the Holy Spirit's going to help us in that. As part of your testimony or a Bible story related to what they talked about that you could share with them, another good question to ask yourself, are they a person of peace? Because there's a lot of antagonistic, proud people out there where it's really honestly best to just, well, thanks for your time and God bless you and move on, because you're just going to find yourself getting sucked into a heated argument that won't really benefit anybody. So ask yourself, are they a person of peace? We can find validity for this in Luke 10:5-6. Jesus said, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. So there are some people of peace that are like, yeah, I'll listen to a couple of questions, but there's some other people you can just tell, like, they're getting agitated, things like that. You might even be able to, like, see their ears turning red. Watch their body language. And I mean, if they obviously don't want to talk to you, don't push it, because they're just not ready. You might do more damage than good if you keep trying to push it when they're not ready. So ask yourself those questions. You know, find out if they're a believer or not. Some diagnostic questions, and these are good questions to ask, even if somebody says, like, oh, yeah, I go to church or blah, blah, blah. I mean, still ask them these questions, because then this is going to help you find out, like, really where they are in their walk with the Lord. So number one, and this is in your bulletin, so you can take home and look at it, study it. How confident are you that you would go to heaven if you died today? Ask them that question. And then have them give a percentage, 50%, 75%, 30%. I've had some people say 0%, believe it or not, and then that's been interesting conversations. But ask them, how confident are you? And side note, 1 John 5:13, God wants us to know that we're going to heaven. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Ephesians 1:13-14, God promises that the Holy Spirit has sealed our inheritance, a guarantee of what's to come. Okay, so we as Christians should know 100% whether we would go to heaven or not, according to what my Bible says. Number two, when you stand before God someday and he says, why should I let you into heaven? What are you going to say? Ask him that question. Okay, so these are just good diagnostic questions to ask where they're at and to discern if they're ready for you to go any further with the conversation. A bad diagnostic question to ask would be, are you saved? Have you asked Jesus into your heart? Are you a Christian? Because, like, that means so many different things for different people. But if you ask them these questions, you're going to really know, like, okay, yeah. And then they say, yep, I'm 100% sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Well, why is that? What would you tell God? Well, when I was 13 years old, I prayed to receive Jesus as my Savior. I believe that he's the only way that I can get to heaven. I can't earn my way there, and I've made him my Lord and Savior. Well, then you're going to know, okay, yeah, this person, like, you're a brother in Christ. Praise you, you know, and then, you know, move on to the next person. Ask them if they've got a church home. Maybe they've kind of faltered away from the faith, or who knows. But, I mean, then you're going to know if they're really a true Christian or not by asking them those questions. Okay, and then the last step, which I'm kind of going to finish next week. So we've got, you know, God is love. So that's step number one. Listen, that kind of represents Jesus. Number two, three, discern. We need the Holy Spirit to discern in this last one. Four, respond. And guess which part of the Trinity that is? It's you. Whoa! I'm not part of the Trinity. Well, guess what? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The moment that you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you've got the Holy Spirit living inside you. Guess what? That opens you up to enjoy all the benefits of that perfect Trinity relationship when you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So this fourth step, that's you. You're the one that's got to respond. You're the one that's got to talk. Colossians 4:5-6. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So we've got to be heavy on the grace and light on the salt. What happens to your nice ribeye steak when you take a whole salt shaker? Minute later, salt. I wouldn't want to take a bite out of that steak. Ooh, burn your mouth, right? But just a little bit of salt, man, really enhances the flavor. And that's the point that Paul is trying to get across here to the Colossians. gracious, seasoned with salt. That salt is kind of that truth, or maybe some things that might be a little bit harder to hear. But we want to be heavy on the grace. And like I said before, it's really going to be up to the Holy Spirit to how you're going to respond. So this next chart kind of is what we're going to close with. So you're going to get to this point. You go through love, listen, discern, and then you're going to be at that point and where you, what do I say now? Should maybe they're not interested or it's time to move on. Maybe the response is yes, they're ready. You're going to have to really discern where they're at. And if they're looking antsy, like they're really uncomfortable, give them an out. You know, say like, yeah, if you've got we don't want to hold you from any meetings or stuff. I got to go meet with this person. You know, just be polite. Give them a chance to leave so they don't have to. You know, and especially around here, we've got like the North Dakota nice people. I mean, they'll answer the phone call and talk to a telemarketer for 5 minutes because they just don't want to be rude and be like, no thanks, click, hang up. You know, there's even people that are like that sometimes. You know, and I feel like that in our culture too. So be polite and give them an out if they're obviously just not interested. But maybe they are ready to move on. So that leaves us. So the answer to that question, what this wristband is for, this little Bible down here, this card, that's what we're going to be talking about next week. Okay? So please join us next week for Evangelism 102 so you can find out if you get through those first three steps and then get to that response part, if they're ready. And then this is the next thing that you do. And we'll be talking about that next week. So I hope you guys can join us for that. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll close with one more song. And then we do have some refreshments. So please join us for that afterwards if you're able to. Yeah, Father, just thank you so much for your word, how it guides us, how it instructs us. Father, help us to be more loving in our own lives. Help us to be better listeners. My goodness, I need to learn how to listen better still. And Father, I just pray that you'd give us discernment through your Holy Spirit, just when to speak, when not to speak, when to hang out in a conversation, when to move on. And then, Father, I just pray, as we talk about this more next week, that we would learn to respond in a godly way, in a grace-filled way that's seasoned with salt, so that we can be effective in sharing our faith with others, Lord. Just give us a compassion for people like you have, Jesus. We pray all this in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, please stand. We'll do one more song.